Good morning. Last Sunday, we looked at the first parable from Luke chapter 15, and this morning we'll look at the second parable that Jesus tells in that chapter. I mentioned last week, and I'll mention again, that we're going to start a new sermon series on September 11th, but this Sunday and last, we were looking at these parables, and these are the parables that the church we looked at back in 2009 when we began having public worship as Lincoln Square Presbyterian. So I thought it'd be good for us to look again and reflect around the question, who is God and what is God like? For Jesus, you know, speaks these stories as a way for us to wrestle with those questions. For the stories share a common theme that God is the one who pursues sinners. God is the one who finds those who are lost. In the first story, if you were here last week or maybe you're familiar with this chapter in Luke, but in the first story, Jesus talked about a shepherd who had 100 sheep. He counts them, and 99 are safe in the pasture, but one is missing. So Jesus says that this shepherd will go and he will look. He will look until he finds the lost one. And upon finding it, he rejoices and he calls all his neighbors, all his friends to come and to celebrate with him because his lost sheep has been found. And the parable that we're going to look at this morning, our second one, is similar. Jesus says a story that there was a woman who had 10 coins, but she finds out that one of her 10 coins is missing. And so she searches and searches. She looks all over her house until she finds it. And when she finds it, she calls all her neighbors and all her friends to come and to celebrate, for her lost coin has been found. So as a way maybe for us to begin thinking about this, I can ask, what kind of things do you tend to lose? Maybe even right now, is there anything missing in your home? Anything missing that you wish you could find? And I imagine maybe for most of us that the first story Jesus tells about a shepherd and a sheep might be a little bit of a stretch from our common daily experience of being around sheep or knowing what it's like to be a shepherd. But the idea of losing something that you want to find, that could be illustrated probably from our very lives, objects that we want to take hold of. Now, sometimes we, you know, lose an item that we don't even realize that it's missing. Maybe then we stumble upon it, you know, a little bit later. I'm thinking maybe of like a shirt or a pair of shoes that are buried deep in a closet or in a box, or some book or record that you find after it's been, you've forgotten. And, you know, when you see it, you're like, oh, I've forgotten I even had this. The Jesus story is different than that. Jesus' story is not about rediscovering or remembering something that you'd forgotten. It's rather that when you find out that it's missing, it fills you with stress, fills you with a burden that it needs to be found. And that when you find it, it brings a sense of relief, a sense of gladness. I don't know what that's like for you. Maybe there's things that come to mind. It could be things such as your wallet, a purse, credit cards, passport, keys, cell phone, some kind of important document, some things even more important than that, that you need to find. Now, my wife Jody can attest that I have this very bad habit of losing my keys. In the moment that they're lost, it's always someone else's fault. You know, someone's moved them. I put them right here. But usually what ends up is that I'm rushing around the house trying to find my keys, hoping that I won't be late to the meeting that I need to get to. Sometimes leading to me getting locked out of my house or locked out of the church office, that I lose my keys. Eventually they are found by someone, by myself or somebody, and it gives me a sense of relief that I found what I was looking for. Keys are relatively minor in the big picture of things, right? But if we can grasp, or we can picture in our mind that moment where we find the thing that we're looking for, and we find it, it gives us a sense of joy, a sense of relief, then we're moving towards what Jesus is inviting us to imagine. But it's important for us to stress that in Jesus' story, the way he constructs it is that there is emphasis on the intensity of the search. This item must be found. The woman has lost one of her 10 coins, only 10, and she's lost one of them. And so she searches and she searches because it has to be found. And there is an intensity and a joy and a celebration when it's found. And Jesus says that when we think about all those things, what we're doing is that they are opportunities for us to think about who God is and how God views you and me. those who are so often lost. Jesus tells us this story to reflect on God, that God is the one who lovingly pursues us in the way that this woman pursues her lost coin. So let's look at this passage together. This is from Luke 15. I included in the order of worship the first couple of verses that tell us the context, and then verse 8 through 10 tells us this story that Jesus is inviting us to hear. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." Jesus tells this story. "Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost.' Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents." This is God's word given for our good. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you have gathered us here, and we ask, Lord, that you'd help us to hear your word, that by this true word that is spoken, that we would be drawn to you, to see you more clearly, that, Lord, that we would turn away from false hopes and false loves, that we would find rest in the truth of your steadfast love. Lord, we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, this parable, it starts the same way as the first one, by remembering the context that Jesus is described. He's surrounded by a group that's described as sinners, tax collectors. They draw near to hear Jesus, and he receives them. And how do the religious leaders, how do the insiders respond to what's happening? They issue a charge against him. This man receives sinners and eats with them. Jesus does not distance himself from the charge. In fact, I think it's worth us pausing for a moment, and then this charge that's brought against Jesus in a very public, in a very shame kind of attempted way, could be a summary of his ministry. Here's the one who has come for sinners. Here's the one who has come not to avoid these outsiders, but has come for the very purpose of encountering them. See, Jesus does not distance himself from this charge, from the possibility of public shame, but rather he tells three stories. And as I mentioned, our passage this morning is the second one that he tells. The first one was of the shepherd seeking after the lost sheep. Now we hear about a woman seeking after her lost coin. These two stories share a lot of common words and a common structure, and so it's worth us asking why. Why would Jesus see the need to tell a double story, to repeat a story one after the next? Why repeat the structure and the words? And I want to suggest that when we see such a repetition in the scriptures, that it can invite us to think about a couple things. One is that this is of great importance. We should pay attention to what Jesus is inviting us to hear. And the second being that this is something that we are prone to forget, that we're prone to kind of get mixed up and confused. And with this second story, we have a chance for Jesus to add emphasis to what he wants us to remember. A chance for us to pause, whether we're hearing this for the first time or whether we are very familiar with this story, for us to listen and to consider again, who is God? And what is God's mission? How does he see those that others are quick to dismiss? Of course, what Jesus is doing also is he's placing himself in these stories, that when we see that God is the one who has come for sinners, Jesus is saying, look, it is in me. It is in me and my ministry in which God pursues the lost. God has come for the sinner. And as Jesus brings that emphasis to himself and the use of the question about who God is, there's two things I want us to see that I think he's emphasizing by repeating this idea. The first being that in Christ, we see that we are valuable, that we are valued by God. And the second thing that Jesus' emphasis, his repetition allows us to see, is that in Christ, we are remembered by God, that God remembers you. So first, Jesus uses this story to stress that we are valued, that in Christ we have value. As important as one sheep out of 100 is, imagine now there's one coin out of 10. 10% of what this woman has is missing. She must find it. And from the way that Jesus tells the story, we can infer that she is poor. It's most likely a village peasant living in a limited economy. We don't know all the details, but we can imagine that from that culture that the wife would often keep the family money in a chain around her neck or in a little rag that would hold the money in a safe way. And either in opening up this chain or opening up the little rag, she discovers that one of the coins is missing. And we have to kind of reflect and think about that situation to realize the significance in that moment. That rag, that chain represented the most likely the family savings. 10 coins represented about 10 days' wages. One day wage is suddenly gone. This one coin is terribly significant. It's too important to be lost. It has to be found. I imagine if any one of us dropped or misplaced or did not receive or lost a day's wage, we would be troubled. We would find it significant. We would take the time and the effort to search for it. And the simple reason, you know, why would we do that? Because it's valuable to us. It's important to us. And Jesus tells us silver coins, a material that holds its value, that even when it's lost, it might not be fulfilling its purpose, it might not be where it's supposed to be, but it does not lose its value just because it is lost. These silver coins hold on to their value, but over time, as you know, if silver is not cared for, if it's not touched, if it's not polished, it begins to tarnish. Tarnishing over time, but yet retaining its value. A coin fallen to the ground, rolling and hidden in the dark place, the dark corners of the house. And in that coin, we are invited to think about our situation. Made precious by God, fashioned in His image. Given intrinsic value and worth, given a dignity that surpasses all other creatures and creation. A dignity that cannot be reduced, cannot be destroyed by what anyone does or anyone says. But sadly, our story not only carries that value, but it speaks about the tarnish as well. That in the lostness of sin, the image that we were made to bear begins to be marred, and our value is hidden. Her coin is lost, so the woman sets out to find it. And as she springs into action, we are reminded that even that the coin is lost, it still belongs to her, and it's still valuable. She's the owner of the coin, even if it sits in the dark spot of her home. In the same way, each of us belongs to God, the one who has made us. Even if we do not acknowledge Him, even if we have turned our attention away from God, even if you find yourself filled with anger or filled with questions that seem to be strangling you, even when we feel loss, a sense of loss of God in the midst of busyness or the demands of life, we belong to the one who has lovingly made us. And Jesus' story affirms that even still, we are deeply valued by God. Our value has not gone away. For He has crafted the story to tell us that this coin must be found. And when it is found, it's coming back to where it belongs, to where its value can be seen most clearly. We are valuable to God in Christ. That value is affirmed. But Jesus' story also tells us that we are remembered by God. That in Christ we are remembered. So we picture a kind of a coin, darkened coin, hidden from view. We can ask, what does it mean to be lost? What does it mean to be lost? Last week, if you were here, if we remember the first parable, that the sheep, the one that was lost, the sheep wandered away from the other 99. What does it mean to wander? In one way, it's interesting to think about these parables that Jesus says and the ones that He repeats, is that as these objects change, a sheep, a coin, and then a son, the third one, that he's exploring the different aspects of what it means to be lost, what it means to find ourselves apart from God. As a sheep wanders from its shepherd, it follows its own hungers, its own desires, its own plans, ignoring the voice of the shepherd. But what about a coin? It's not lost by any apparent fault of its own. Maybe it got knocked off the table, fell out of the purse, was lost. There's a passive nature to the coin's journey. As we imagine this story that Jesus tells, we have to admit that the story of the coin is never fully our story, for we are active in wandering from God. But the story of the coin might be part of our story. And what I mean by that is hard circumstances, others mistreating us, being overlooked, people breaking their promises. A family that you grew up in that gave little or no example of thinking about God. Mistreatment by the church or by those who bear the name of Jesus. Going through loss and difficulty, hardship, things that seem to be pushing you more and more into the corner that can't be seen. And whatever our story, this lost coin invites us to think and reflect, do we know what it's like to be forgotten? Do we know what it's like to be forgotten, to be out of mind, ignored or left behind, neglected? When we had a chance to travel recently, part of our time, we were in Paris. And in Paris, we went to see the catacombs in Paris. Maybe some of you have been there. The catacombs are this series of tunnels under Paris. They're about 70 feet below the ground. They're old limestone quarries where they took the limestone out to build monuments all over the city long ago in the 1700s. But over time, when the quarries were empty, the cemeteries in Paris were filling up. They didn't know what to do. So the king made an order that the cemeteries were to be emptied in Paris and all the bones were to be taken out of the cemeteries and placed into these old limestone quarries, into these catacombs. Over time, eventually, they organized all the bones that were below so that you could actually walk through the old limestone pathways. And there are piles and piles of skulls and of bones lining the walkways as you go through. It might sound strange to say that it's artistic, that someone's job or some people's job were to form these bones in a way that you could see them. They would be presented in an artistic manner. There's a sign outside that says, if you're claustrophobic or don't like strong experiences, you should not go down. But we went anyway. But I mentioned that it's a profound experience, actually. It's hard to describe in words. But my son Owen and I, five at one point, were walking through. He's 5 years old, and we were walking. And I asked him what he thought. And as we talked, I said, you know, it's each time we see these bones, each bone, this was someone that was walking just like we're walking now. Someone who one day in a day was talking to somebody else. Someone who had a name. Someone who had hopes and fears and plans. It's interesting to think about those individuals, for there's no names listed, only the names of the cemeteries in which they came. Also, there's a collection of scripture quotes around the different places. But to think about what it means to be remembered. What does it mean to be remembered? And of course, we can look to the end of life and think about what that would be for ourselves or those who have lived hundreds of years ago. But we don't have to just look to the past to ask that. What about now in our city, in our neighborhood? For there's many who are overlooked and forgotten. What about our own lives? Do we know what it's like to be overlooked? In the story that Jesus tells, he wants to stress to you and to me that in him, that in his gospel, what he is proclaiming is that we are remembered by God. That God knows our names, God knows our hopes, our fears, and God remembers us. Even into the darkness, God remembers and pursues us. In Christ, seeking to diligently find us and restore us. For in that setting where homes were small and very dimly lit, we can picture the woman lighting the lamp, going through the dirt floor that often had straw on top of it, getting out the broom and finding, make sure that she would look in each place, that coin that she remembered, the coin that was important to her, that was valuable to her, that it would be found. She looks because she knows that she must find what she values and what she knows is hers. And that day, there was a common story about a lost coin. Jesus wasn't the first one to use such a story. There was a rabbinic story about seeking after a lost coin, but the story was different. For the story was told so that you and I would know the importance of seeking after God's law. See, in the story that was common to that day, we were the seekers, and the lost coin, the coin that had value, was the law of God that needed to be found and valued. Jesus takes that story. He takes that story and he changes it. Do you see the significance? He changes who it is that's seeking and who it is that is found. For now, God is the one who is the seeker, and you and me, we are the lost coin. We no longer are in the position of seeking, but Jesus tells a story in which God himself comes after you and me. It's a very different view of the spiritual life. That we are the ones who are found. We are the ones who are remembered. We are the ones who are valued and beloved by God. And our hope, and I think this is why Jesus tells the story multiple times, our hope is not in our diligence. My hope is not in my perseverance or my will or my strength. My hope is in God remembering me and keeping the promise that he will find me. And so our faith is not in ourselves. Our faith is not that our seeking will lead to where it's supposed to go. Our faith is the God who makes promises, will keep them in his faithfulness, and he will bring us back to where we belong. If you're like me, we need to hear this story that Jesus tells over and over again, that tells us our value is not in the many things the world would tell us to place our value in, to tell us that we will be remembered not because that we show forth certain diligence, but we will be remembered and valued because of God in Christ pursuing us and keeping his promise and faithfulness to us. Jesus came for sinners. And so when it was pointed out that he was spending time with them, he does not back away from that, but continues in it, for he came to seek and save the lost. For a coin cannot find itself. A coin cannot clean itself. But Jesus enters into the darkness, enters into the lost places, even to the forgotten places, to find us. And what will that woman do when she finds that coin? She will clean it, she'll polish it, and return it to where it belongs, and she'll invite her neighbors and friends to come and celebrate that one that was lost has been found. And in doing so, we are reminded of Jesus, the one who hung on the cross, who entered into the darkness and forgotten places for you and for me. Not just to find us, but hung there on the cross that we would be cleansed from all unrighteousness, the tarnish taken away, and that we would be restored to God, the place that we belong. For this is the good news of Christ, and it's the good news that you and I are invited to entrust ourselves to. For Jesus tells these stories to ask the question, who is God? God is the one who pursues you in love. God is the one who affirms your value. God is the one who remembers you. And God is the one who has acted in Christ to take away all of your sin and to restore you to himself. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you are a God that is good. Even repeating yourself and retelling us again things that we are so quick to forget. Lord, we come as those who are drawn to trust in ourselves, that we can navigate things the right way, that we can hold things together, that we will find what we need to find. Lord, this day help us to rest from such self-trust, and let us find our rest in you, the one who is faithful. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.